morning, everyone. Please be seated. The party's ready in the matter of State versus Magnano.
Yes.
We are.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thomas Kummerow appearing on behalf of Matthew Magnano, and I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
You've got it. There you go.
The court here closed and locked the courtroom door while the bailiff replayed the 911 tape. It's our contention that that violated Mr. Magnano's right to an open courtroom and the public's right to open proceedings.
How would you characterize, assuming it's a closed courtroom physically, because the bailiff is outside, jury's inside, there seems to be no dispute that the courtroom itself was then both substantively, procedurally, and in form a deliberative process.
It was, although it may have been a deliberative process, and I hesitate to use that word because it's got a loaded meaning. My argument is no. What they were doing was they were hearing the 911 tape again.
How is it different if they were a few feet away in the jury room and listening to the tape, which happens from time to time?
It's a huge difference because back in the jury room, that's a private room where they deliberate. The courtroom is a completely separate entity entirely. The courtroom has all the trappings of being open to the public, the parties to be there, the judge being there and such, although they weren't here at that time.
Your feeling then it has everything to do with what is traditionally the location of the jurors in the jury room.
Absolutely.
They can never deliberate somewhere else in the courtroom.
In the courroom. I hesitate to say somewhere else, but in the courtroom. The courtroom has to be open absent some finding by the court using bone club factors that it should be closed.
Well, let me ask you this then. It's very clear that Judge Lum, who's the presiding judge, and all of the both sides, the attorneys and their client, treated the courtroom in all respects as a place, a physical location, where the jury would be allowed to privately listen to the tape, make comments if they wished. And that's really what Judge Lum said in his remarks that are part of the record, is it not?
Certainly. But once again, it's the location. It's the courtroom. The place which is traditionally open to the public, for the public to come and watch the proceedings. And that was not the case here. The door was locked, and Judge Lum made no finding under Bone Club that any of the factors have been met. And from my standpoint, that violates the constitutional right. I mean, if you look at the standpoint of the experience and logic test from Sublett, and I cited a number of cases not only from Washington but from out of state, which talk about, they're not open courtroom cases, state's correct on that, but they talk about this where you're replaying audio or video recordings, and they use the term in open court. I tend to use words for a reason, and courts use words for a reason. When they use the word open court, that means something, and it's not like here where it was a closed courtroom, but an open courtroom. It's no different than, say, selecting jurors, where you interview jurors individually. You do that in open court. The other jurors are back in the jury room, but all of it happens in the public courtroom. The same thing happens here. The jury could hear the 911 tape as long as the public was available to sit and watch, and then they went back to the jury room and they could deliberate.
Counsel, I have a slightly different question. You mentioned Sublett and the experience and logic test. Does it apply to Article 1, Section 10 claims as well as Article 1, Section 22 claims?
It's an interesting question. There's been no explicit word from the Supreme Court, but they talk about mirror images, both the public's right and the individual's right, mirror images of each other. They analyze them the same. So I think, yes, Sublett does apply. And also, speaking of that, we're asking for an alternative remedy here. I know in the briefing, we asked for reversal and remand. We've got six cases currently pending in the Supreme Court dealing with open courtroom. And a lot of the issues are areas where under Sublett, under the experience and logic test, would be traditionally closed. But the Supreme Court has those currently before them. And I'm asking as an alternative remedy that this court stay the decision in this case, pending the decisions in those six cases, simply because the ground beneath us is shifting. We don't know what open courtroom means these days. Sublett was supposedly the last word, but now we have these six cases that are pending. So we don't know. So there are instances with issues that they're deciding down there that very well could have impact on this particular issue. So unless the court has any questions, I'll just reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, I'm Jennifer Joseph, Deputy Prosecuting Attorney for King County, representing the state of Washington in this case. We're asking the court to affirm Mr. Mignano's conviction for second-degree robbery and felony hit and run because he has not established any violation of his public trial right. We know from Sublett that the very first question in a case like this is the proceeding at issue one to which the public trial right attaches? And we use the experience and logic test to make that determination. The proceeding in this case was the jury's review of recorded audio exhibits that were admitted in open court during trial. That is part and parcel of deliberations, jury deliberations, and no court has ever held that any part of jury deliberations should be open to the public and the press.
Ms. Joseph, apparently counsel says it makes a difference, the location. Would you address that among the remarks that you're about to make?
Absolutely. I think that we know from the Supreme Court's decision in Tacoma News versus Judge Casey that the location doesn't make a difference. It doesn't drive the analysis here. In that case, it had to do with a videotaped deposition that was made to preserve testimony. And that happened in the courtroom with a judge presiding. And the Supreme Court said that doesn't transform something that is normally merely merely discovery, something that could happen legally and lawfully and constitutionally in a law firm office. That doesn't transform it into a proceeding to which the public and the press need to have access. And that's the same situation here. Jury deliberations usually occur in the jury room. This was a part of jury deliberations. The fact that it occurred in a courtroom that was otherwise private, as Your Honor noted, counsel wasn't there, the court wasn't there, Mr. Mignano wasn't there, and that was, by the way, by his own choice. He didn't wish to be there. He expressly agreed to this procedure in advance. The fact that it occurred in that private setting, the fact that it was a courtroom, doesn't make a difference in the analysis.
And if I understand correctly, Tacoma News didn't apply Sublett because it was decided before Sublett, but you're arguing that that concept continues to have vitality after Sublett?
Absolutely. And if you look at the court's analysis under the prong that I believe they headed First Amendment, it tracks the experience and logic analysis of Sublett. I guess it contemplates the same things that Sublett then enunciates clearly. And that, of course, is an Article 1, Section 10 case, but I think that, as Mr. Comerau suggested, the same analysis would apply here.
On that, as a footnote, did Wise venture into the question of whether the two overlap to the point that the same analysis always applies?
I'm not quite certain of that without Wise in front of me, but I think, as Mr. Comerau noted, the two claims have been evaluated very similarly by the courts.
Counsel mentioned six cases before the Supreme Court. I just want to be clear that none of those cases have a bearing in particular on the narrow question before us in this case. Is that correct?
That's correct. As I've said, there's no authority whatsoever for the premise that any part of jury deliberations must be accessible to the public. And that is not an issue that is before the Supreme Court in any of the cases that they're considering right now. Mr. Mignano seems to argue that because there's a historical concern about the jury overemphasizing audio or video evidence when it's replayed, that has led to a rule that such replays have to occur in open court. And there is no such rule. The rule is Criminal Rule 6.15. And
the same one that was invoked in Sublette.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in Sublette, they talked about how this rule gives the court discretion in how to respond to jury questions about the instructions or about the evidence. That rule also gives the court discretion in how to respond to the jury's request to rehear or replay evidence. It doesn't say anything about it having to be in open court, and no court has interpreted it to mean that it has to occur in open court. The cases that Mr. Comerow cites, from mainly from out of Washington, that refer to this as needing to happen in open court, are using open court not in the context of a public trial, right, but as a way to distinguish the jury's unfettered access to these materials in the jury room from a controlled environment. And in fact, some of the cases talk about it needs to happen in open court or in a similarly controlled environment. And the court in this case properly used its discretion to say this is the way we're going to prevent the jury from overemphasizing the 911 call. It's going to happen in the courtroom. They're not going to have unfettered access. We're not going to send this the equipment to listen to this exhibit down to the courtroom, to the jury room. So that's how they've handled the jury emphasis issue. It doesn't mean that it needs to be done in open court, as that's been interpreted by the public trial cases in Washington. The court properly used its discretion, and I'm not sure there's much else that we need to say in this case. Jury deliberations are not subject to the public trial right. Reviewing admitted exhibits during deliberations is part and parcel of deliberations, and there was no public trial right violation in this case. If the court has no further questions, I will sit down.
Thank you.
I wanted to correct one thing. Counsel says that Mr. Monion and his counsel agreed to this process. They had waived their presence. They didn't say anything about locking the doors and such. The prosecutor and the judge were conversing about that.
But Mr. Monion and counsel, the bailiff's going to be outside.
Absolutely. But they never objected, but they never agreed to it. So it's not one of those things where he can't raise it because he invited the error. He just didn't say anything, so he can still raise it. Three of the six cases that are currently pending in the Supreme Court deal with, like I say, traditional issues that we would have thought are fine in closed courtroom. Two of them are conferences back in chambers conferences, one on jury instructions, one on hardship analysis. The third is closing the courtroom to discuss hardship. So although they don't directly impact this case, depending upon how the Supreme Court decides those cases, it may have direct impact on this case. So unless the court has any other questions, we would just ask that this court reverse and remand. Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel.